I try to hear the colors, but the more I listen, the less I hear them.
All right, now this is a very common experience. At first, you might hear the colors. Then later on, when you try to hear them, they evaporate. We talked a little about this in this seminar. The only way that these colors will be clear is when the ear listens in a very relaxed, non-caring, effortless style of listening. You cannot force the ear to hear deeply. If you want to dive deep into a pool, you can't be moving around. If you're moving around, that's going to keep you on the surface. You'll just tread water. Trying to hear these colors, that is a kind of activity. And that kind of activity will prevent you from hearing these very, very deep colors. You cannot force it. We don't rush. No listening hard, a very non-caring style of hearing. If the color comes and goes, that's fine, because this is the way it starts off. You hear it sometimes, and then sometimes you don't hear it. To get inside the tone, we have to listen sort of inside ourselves, without the ear trying to go outside too much. You don't try to get your ear in there and hear something in that tone. What you do is this, kind of sit back and just without even trying to hear that G, just let your ear hear that G. In other words, you let the note come to you. You don't go out to the note. And it just comes into your ear. And then it produces some kind of a feeling. See, these colors are really, when all is said and done, they're feelings. You don't try to get in there and hear something which you're not even sure of. Just let the note come to you, and it produces some kind of a vague feeling, which is different than this. These are the color sounds. We never try to bring it out more. See, this is an important point. If we start to hear the colors, we start to feel that this F sharp is vibrant and the E flat is mellow. Even then, we don't try to bring them out more than what we're hearing. Some people think that this twang of the F sharp is going to get more twangy. They think that the more they practice the exercises, the more they'll be able to hear that twang, and the more the E flat will sound mellow. No, no. The way you hear it now is the way it will always be. The F sharp does not become twangier, the E flat does not become any more mellow, they're as mellow as they'll ever get, and they're as twangy as they'll ever get. But what happens is, your ear learns to make a very subtle distinction between the two. See, this is absolute pitch development. You are able to have a clear experience on that very refined level of hearing. It's a very subtle distinction, the F sharp twang and the E flat mellow. And if it comes and goes, then this is perfectly normal.
I can't seem to find any descriptions to use to label some of the pitches. Can you describe pitch color a little more?
Pitch color is just these little variations in the tones. They're very difficult to describe. You don't have to worry about what they are. We've said hints, twangy and mellow and bright, whatever. Don't worry about describing it. Just listen and practice the exercises effortlessly, and they will gradually become clear to you.
Will a G flat have the same sound color as an F sharp?
Yes, because G flat is the same as F sharp. So it has the same sound color. Now, on a violin, if there's a slight difference, it's still the same color because they're close enough.
Will everyone with perfect pitch hear the colors the same way?
At the seminars, when everybody describes the colors, it's just a repeat. Every seminar is the same. They always use the same labels to describe all these tones. So I would say, yes, people do hear them the same.
What if you have tried to listen and you can't hear these colors at all?
Then we never mind that. We just continue with the exercises. We listen effortlessly. The ear has been conditioned to only hear horizontally. So if it takes a little longer to get it out of that habit and get it to hear vertically, we don't worry about it. We just practice effortlessly, and gradually your ear will start to pick up on these delicate pitch colors.
Do different keys have different color sounds?
Yes, D major has a different sound than G major. They have different flavors. You get to learn these color patterns, so when you listen to a song on the radio, you say, oh, it's in B flat major. They have little feelings to them, yes.
What if you have to transpose something? Can't people with perfect pitch get confused if what they hear is different than what's on the score?
Now, here we come across one of these myths about perfect pitch. Some people say, I would not want to have perfect pitch because then if something is being played in a different key than what I'm looking at on the score, I'm going to get all confused. Now, what has happened is some of us, let's face it, like to show off our ability by complaining about it. This is what happens. They'll say, oh, it just bothers me. It's not in the right key or something like that. This is not true. Perfect pitch is not something to complain about. It's the color. How can you complain about the color? It's like buying a color TV set and then complaining that you don't like that particular shade of the car that guy's driving. You don't like the color of it. Well, the color TV, no matter what shade the car is still better than the black and white TV. Another thing is that people that don't have perfect pitch, when they've tried so hard to develop the ability and they haven't been able to do it because they didn't understand it, then they get frustrated and they say, well, I just wouldn't want to have perfect pitch because it would bother me if I had to transpose something. This is not true either way, because someone with perfect pitch can transpose much better than someone without perfect pitch. If you want to play by ear and you have to transpose it into a new key, and you can hear in your mind's ear that the next chord should be A flat, then you just play it. It's an actual master key to playing by ear. Relative pitch is also necessary, however, they both work together. Another thing that people say is, I wouldn't want to have perfect pitch because it would just drive me crazy if I heard everything was out of tune. This is not true either. It's a myth. Because in actuality, there's no difference between the way someone with perfect pitch hears and the way someone without perfect pitch hears. If the orchestra is out of tune, everybody knows it. The person with perfect pitch doesn't really hear it any differently than the person without perfect pitch. It's just that the person with perfect pitch hears the colors. That's all. If it's out of tune, it's no secret. Everybody knows it's out of tune. Now, maybe the orchestra is tuned a little sharp. It's in tune with itself, but it's tuned a little sharp. Then the person with perfect pitch might notice that. But it wouldn't bother him unless he's just being very, very picky about the whole thing, because once again, there's a range of what notes are. If you have a green and you see it on one TV as a certain kind of a green and on a different TV as a slightly different kind of green, it would be very presumptuous to always complain every time you went to somebody else's TV set that the green wasn't exactly the way you were used to, because there's a range of what green is. So don't let those people confuse you. Let's confess, let's face it, sometimes we do like to show it off by complaining about it.
What about people who are tone deaf?
Okay, now here's another myth. It's very rare. People are sometimes labeled as tone deaf because they can't match a pitch. The thing is, if you can't match a pitch, it's probably due to vocal problems. You need to go to a vocal teacher and have them work with you in order to straighten that thing out. If you were truly tone deaf, it would show up in your speech. But if you have proper highs and lows when you're speaking, then that proves that you do hear pitch because your inflections are right. So if an individual has proper inflections in their speech, then you can be sure they're not tone deaf. All you have to do is just listen a little bit more closely in order to bring out the full development of this perfect pitch. But we don't have to worry about these things. Anybody who is a musician or you're musically inclined, you're certainly hearing pitches correctly. There's just no problem.
Is age a large factor when developing perfect pitch?
It is a factor, but it's not a large factor. I have people, even elderly people, come to the seminar and they immediately pick up on these colors. Now, I think a child may pick up on these colors sometimes more quickly because their ear is not so conditioned to listen just horizontally and never vertically. But this doesn't mean that the children are always going to pick it up faster. Sometimes the children can go slower. I think a teenager is probably at a very good age to pick all this up. In the young 20s is very good. But at any age, it doesn't make any difference. As long as we take the time to listen, we can hear these things.
How long does it take to develop perfect pitch?
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 months. It all depends on where you're at.
Can you ever lose perfect pitch?
Once we've gained this color discrimination, it's permanent. You can't forget what a color sound is.
Color Hearing Technique Session.
Perfect pitch is not an intellectual inquiry. It's a childlike perception. So right now, let's all go back to kindergarten for a while. What I'd like you to do is go out and get one of those large jumbo boxes of Crayola multicolored crayons. Or you could get colored pencils, or paints, or watercolors, whatever you like. And have a sheet of white paper handy. Then set aside a few minutes where you can just sit down and just be with your musical instrument and your crayons or your paints and your paper and just be a child for a while. Listen to all the chromatic tones on your instrument very slowly, very thoroughly and deeply. Let your mind be free and easy as you're listening. We'll go all the way up from C to C. And as you listen, see if you can find a color that to you best matches a particular tone. You can even mix your colors and create your own new color if you want. Now, when you've listened a while and you've settled on a particular color for a particular tone, then draw it, any kind of a color chart that illustrates what tone goes with what color. It's totally up to you how you want to draw it. You could draw colored notes if you want, or you could even put your notes on musical staff lines, or you could make a rainbow. So feel free and be original. Now, I want you to know something. This exercise is for everyone to do, especially for anyone who thinks that they can just skip it. Sometimes I find that intelligent people feel that they just want to skip this exercise and quickly move on to the next session. If this is the case for you, then I'd like to ask you, if you can, to just drop all that and for just a short time, be a kid again. This drill is actually our very first color hearing technique exercise, so we won't want to miss the start. So again, just sit, listen to the tones from C to C, all the 12 chromatic tones. And actually, since we're going from C to C, the C is repeated. So we actually have 13 tones, so you can draw 13 colors in all, okay? Sit for a while, listen to the tones, draw your own color chart any way you want, and when you've done this, then we'll talk some more.